Yes, everyone, welcome to the Tactical Preview, Manchester United against Southampton, 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. This is, I think, a very, very important game for Manchester United. I'd stop shy of just saying must win, because then you're like, well, what happens if we don't win? I mean, really, what does happen if we don't win? It sucks, doesn't it? So I'd say it's a very important game, but not one that is a must win. If you're admiring the t-shirt and you're like, yes, Steve, I need myself one of them. These are a t-shirt I just designed last week, released them this week, and mine has arrived today. If you want one of those, you can get one at the link in the description, or if you scroll down, the YouTube has now started putting merchandise on its own like little shelf underneath the video. So if you fancy one of these, check out those and go and get yourself one of these, because I think they're proper sick. You feeling it? Yeah, and that is the lemon from the Stone Roses thing. Oh yeah. Anyway, let's talk about Southampton, let's talk about United, and let's talk about how this game's going to go down then. So Ralf Hasenhüttl has turned around the fortunes a little bit of Southampton. He was averaging 0.96 points per game under Mark Hughes. They're now averaging 1.27 points per game under Ralf Hasenhüttl. He has started to make them a bit harder to beat. He has started to introduce goals, but there's also this thing where, they're, apart from the last couple of games, they're conceding a lot of goals even when they win, and none of the games where they're involved in, they're really keeping clean sheets. So I think if you're going to be betting on this game, I'd definitely be going for both teams to score. I definitely think that's going to happen. I myself have gone for 3-1 with Pogba as first goal scorer, because I think that's how it's probably going to go down. They like to play a 3-5-2. And when I get to my starting 11 in a little bit, you'll understand another reason why I've gone with the 4-4-2 diamond. Even though I like the 4-4-2 diamond anyway, there's an extra reason. Because they play a 3-5-2, I almost want to go man for man with the three that they've got across the back. Put them under pressure. The fullbacks do bomb on, like most sort of three at the back systems. It relies on people pushing forward from fullback areas to give them the width and give them that attacking impetus, and that's what they do, and you can get in behind them for doing that. It's weird because Hasenhüttl, like when me and Dave went over to Leipzig to go and watch them, Hasenhüttl was in charge, and they played a very rigid 4-4-2, very, very old school style 4-4-2, and I thought it was a great system that they played. He wasn't afraid to mix it up, but that was his go-to formation. Since he's come to Southampton, he pretty much has favoured the three at the back. I'm not sure if he thinks that because it suits the Premier League better or if it suits the Southampton players any better. I'm not sure the reasons for it. But I think it leaves them mega vulnerable. And I think it leaves them... I don't think they're good enough footballers to pull off the three at the back system. And maybe that's one of the reasons why he wants to play it, because he does like to try and knock it around a little bit rather than just boot it long. But I don't think it works for them. And I think United are going to swat them aside. It is a potential banana skin, because it is one of the games where you go, United have to win this, and they should win this. So there's always the potential for a cock-up when that's the case. But I do think that United go here and we absolutely smack them around a little bit. It's a very young side Hasenhüttl's got. And I think if you get a nice early goal, there's not going to be an experience in there that knows how to fight back against a team like United at Old Trafford. So I think we're going to put them away. Key player, I think, for United in this game is going to be, surprisingly, Victor Lindelof. Now, Lindelof was not a good player in terms of a centre-half when he signed for United. And he's added to his game. He's developed his game. It's not been a case of settling in. It's not been a case of he had to get used to the league or anything like that. When you look at what he was playing like at Benfica, you look at what he's playing like now, or what he was playing like when he first signed for United, there was no difference. There was absolutely no difference. It was just a different style of play that he was coming up against that he couldn't deal with. The European games were where he shone, and the European games were where we really started to see the real benefit of what Lindelof could bring to the team. Once we started to see those, the confidence in him grew. And it was probably the Juventus game earlier this season where we was like, do you know what? There we go. That's the player that we thought we signed. And he's added to his game. He's become stronger. He's become meaner. I think he's become a better 1v1 defender. And that is why we're now seeing Victor Lindelof be so vital for United. And I think because we don't have Matic in the team at the moment, because we don't have Ander Herrera in the team at the moment, we're relying on someone that can pull it out from the back. Chris Smalling can't do it, and God knows Ashley Young can't do it. So I think you're relying on somebody like Lindelof to pull that out of the back. When United win it in that bottom third, someone's got to turn defence into attack, and Lindelof is that man for me, and I think that's what we're going to do. So I reckon Victor Lindelof is going to be today key and tomorrow's key man. Starting 11 wise, and keep getting your questions in as well. I am looking at them. I'm going to get to them in a second. Starting 11 wise, Solskjaer mentioned in his press conference that it's pretty much going to be the same 11, but Marcus Rashford starts. Now, there's a lot of debate, I think, around who is the one that misses out. Is it Sanchez? Is it Lukaku? Is it somebody else? Is it Fred? I think it'll be Dalot. I think you take Dalot out and you've still got quite a lot of balance in that team, and we can go back to the 4-4-2 diamond. So for me, the back four remains the same. I'd probably start Dalot over Young, but I don't think Solskjaer's gonna. The midfield, McTominay, I think has earned the right to get a third consecutive game after the performance that he put up against Crystal Palace. That was much better, I thought, than the Liverpool game. A lot of people give him credit for the Liverpool game. I thought the difference in the Liverpool game was that I thought he was hiding from the ball. He wasn't hiding from the ball against Crystal Palace. He made himself available, and he was one of the big contributors in terms of possession. So I thought he was a good game against Palace. I think he's earned a third game, and we'll see how it goes. He should be all right against his Southampton midfield. Alongside him, Fred. Again, very involved in the build-up in possession, but I want to see him on the right-hand side. I don't want to see him on that left-hand side. I'd rather Pogba go back over there. And of course, Pogba not going to be available midweek, so I want a big game out of Paul Pogba. He can be the difference in a win or a defeat or a draw in this. Sanchez played in the middle in that Jesse Lingard role. Let's actually see what it looks like with him playing in that. Him playing there allows him, because he's got energy and because he's got that natural tendency to cut around the place, I think he can work in this position. I think you get him out of Pogba's air a little bit, because they both like to play on this left-hand side. You get him out of Pogba's air a little bit, you let him go forward, you let him ghost in between the two strikers, you let him come back and do a little bit of work, and I think you're going to see a really good Sanchez. And if you don't, it's probably time to start looking about moving the guy on in the summer, because this hasn't worked so far. And it hasn't worked under Mourinho, and it hasn't worked under Solskjaer. So guess what? I don't think it's going to work. So I'm thinking it's going to be the last couple of rolls of the dice for Sanchez. Where does he fit into this team? Because he's too good and he's too expensive to be considered a backup to Jesse Lingard and Juan Mata. You can't have those two ahead of him when a guy's paid £500,000 a week. For me, he's got to play in this number 10 role, and he's got to excel. If he can't excel against Southampton in this role, surrounded by these players, it's time to go for me. Up front, Marcus Rashford, as Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said, he's probably going to be back in the starting 11 alongside Lukaku up front. I think Lukaku just off on that right-hand side, getting in behind those three defenders, getting in behind that fullback over on this side, in this area, that's where you're going to see some real good Lukaku. We want to see fast breakaways. I want to see McTominay. I want to see Fred finding Paul Pogba and Pogba putting it down into that final third. Same goes for Marcus Rashford. Similar sort of thing, but I would expect Marcus to be taking people on in the final third, where I would expect Lukaku to probably be laying it off to someone in that final third. That's my starting 11. Let me know in the comments what you guys think. Dean Considine says, I don't know why you don't rate Dalot. I do rate Dalot. I think he's got a good delivery. I think defensively he's not 100% there just yet. But let's be real, he's going to start Ashley Young. And you all know my feelings on that. I wouldn't have started Ashley Young through choice. I just don't think he's going to start him. VJ says, Pereira instead of Fred. I'd personally go with that. But again, Solskjaer's basically said he's going to start essentially the same side, but Marcus starts. So if the manager's coming out and saying that, what's the point in me picking a whole different team? He's not going to play that whole different team. We are going to come to the questions in a second, so make sure you get all of those questions in. And I'm going to come over to the Patreon group and see what you guys are saying. So this channel is supported by Patreon. If you don't know what it's all about, hit the link in the description and go and read up and find out what it's all about. And then you'll know. This is Romero at striker, says Clayton. If you saw the tweet that I banged out earlier, he's just broke a world record. To be honest, it doesn't seem like the hardest world record to beat. Let's be honest with ourselves, does it? 20 goals in a minute. It's one every 3 seconds. Just shooting in an empty net from the halfway line. I reckon one of you lot could probably break that. Do you think Fred should start again to give him the run of games that he needs, or maybe give Andreas a chance? I can see the argument for both of those. If he plays forward three, if he plays 4-3-3, I can also see the argument for trying Pereira off that right-hand side. And I also see the benefit of having one of the youngsters come in now. It's a home game, like Chong. If he was going to persist with a 4-3-3, bringing in somebody like Chong wouldn't be a bad idea. I also don't think it's a coincidence that you saw Angel and Mason travel with the team midweek. I think that one of those could be involved on the bench this weekend. If Roman Rash clicks well up front over the next few games, can you see a switch to 4-2-2 wide in the near future to compensate for both of them playing at once? I don't think you need to. I think actually, Defensively, you kind of do, but that's why you play ideally Herrera. And I think actually Pogba works quite well defensively. Pogba covers on the left as a, almost like a left midfielder, and Herrera covers on the right like a right midfielder. But you're winning the ball further up anyway, so it's not like you've got tons and tons of tracking down to do. Because you're putting two strikers on, essentially what's two centre-halves, you're already putting that team under pressure. And if you've got your number 10 shuttling in between the lines, whether that's Jesse or whether that's Alexis Sanchez, you're cutting off the passing lanes for them through into midfield. So you're winning the ball further up the pitch. So it's actually less work than you think. It's like, oh, I've got to go and cover up right back. I've got to... Not all the time. Most of the time, we're winning it around the halfway line or in their third. So it actually isn't as much graft as you think when you're working so hard in those areas. Connor says, does Rashford and Marshall come back in now, or do we give them proper time to recover and go with the same lineup and get the likes of Fred sometimes? Well, apart from Solskjaer mentioned he would play Rashford, who I'm assuming can't be as injured as he thinks he is, or as I think he is at least. I would definitely try and give them a maximum recovery, especially with what happened with Jesse. We don't want that happening again, because we're about to hit a real meaty part of the season. I would save Marshall for Paris over this game if you think you've got any chance whatsoever. I don't. But Solskjaer might, he might have a way that he goes, you know what, we just go and score two away goals and sit on it and we'll take it to extra time and see what happens. Are we capable of doing that? Yeah, I think we are. Will we though? I don't think so. Let's be honest, a goal from PSG in the first 5 minutes, first 10 minutes, first 15 minutes, tie over, isn't it, at the end of the day. Now we've got to score three. And I don't see us doing that. With Marcus being back, with Tony Marshall being back, I give us half a chance, but it's only half a chance. Who's going to play the ball into the final third? Can Wan-Mata do it? Maybe. How injured is he? No idea. Without Pogba, it's a massive, massive ask, and I think it's probably too much for us if we're being realistic. Josh says, having looked at the City group and how they have teams in England, America, Australia and other countries, would you entertain United doing a similar thing in places where football is rapidly growing? Seems a great way to unearth young talent and raise them in a professional league while at the same time teaching them the Manchester United way. Yeah, I wouldn't be against it. I think City are doing some really good things off the pitch, and that probably, even though there's nefarious reasons I think around why they do it, I think if United did it with the intention of having a team that's, I don't know the legalities of having a team in those areas like that and having transfers between them. I think that's a bit on top, but I think having a team in those areas where you can get people football first team experience, I think that's huge, and I think it's a great way to uncover the local talent in all of those areas, and it's something we probably should look to do. Yeah. Ant says, is there a chance that Ollie's success with the current squad will see the owners tighten the purse strings at the summer? I do worry about that. I do worry about that, but I hope that's something that Ollie's going like, I ain't signing the thing until you tell me that, you know, I've identified these positions need sorting out. So if you give me the ability to sort them out, then we're going to be friends. So I hope that's how it goes down. Ahmed, do you reckon a diamond would be better than 4-3-3 with two up front and Alexis as centre mid and the forwards can go wide and it'll be a 3-3-3? Yeah. Essentially, I mentioned that in the starting 11. Yeah, I think that you go three against three at the back and you put them under pressure and they'll turn the ball over there, I reckon. Extra width could come from the fullbacks. Extra width should come from our fullbacks. At home, you'd expect United to have the lion's share of possession. You'd expect the fullbacks to be well over the halfway line for their average position and be banging balls in or helping support the attack, because we've actually stopped the output of crosses to a certain extent under Solskjaer. Three of our last four Premier League games with Southampton have been draws. I think Tadic and Austin scored winners at Old Trafford in recent years as well. Do I envisage another tough match, or we'll have too much for them? I think it'll be tough until we get that first goal, and I think they'll probably fall away pretty rapidly. But I think while it's 0-0, there'll be a few nervous looks around. We haven't actually won since mid-January at home. We're on three straight failures to win, two draws and a defeat to Paris. Burnley, Liverpool, Paris is our last three home games, so that's where the title must improve comes from, because we have to improve at home. Away form has been virtually flawless. Home form now needs to improve, and I think this is a great opportunity for us to do so. Do I expect Young to play after his goal on Wednesday? I do. I wouldn't want him to, but he will. Delors, a right winger, did well against Paris. I don't think he did that well. 0-5 on his crosses. I thought he was all right. I didn't think it was spectacular. I just thought he was all right. But I would go back to more balance. We're playing a right winger out of place at right back and a right back out of place at right winger. That is just the maddest shit ever, innit? Greenwood debut when we're two up. Let's hope so. And then it becomes 3 and 4 quickly, I reckon. There's no way Mason's not scoring on his debut. No way. Solskjaer reckons no new contract for Valencia. No question. Just want to say thank fuck. Now for Young's to expire next year. Every cloud. Do I think Dalot will be right wing again, or do you expect to see Rashford start alongside Rom and Alexis, or maybe one of Chong, Greenwood or Gomez? I hope it's the latter. I hope it is Rashford in that too, like we've just sort of seen. And I do hope that Chong, Greenwood, Gomez, one or more of them are on the bench, because they definitely deserve it. And if Ollie's going to be here long term, that's what we need to see. Pundit, I think, says Ole Gunnar Solskjaer gives away too many chances to deserve the manager job. We didn't concede a goal apart from set plays and the penalty spot for a long time under Solskjaer. What do you mean he gives away too many chances? Look at the goals that we've scored. You can't have it both ways. You can't have the meanest defence in the world and the best attack in the world. It generally becomes one or the other. It doesn't work like that, certainly with the calibre of player that we've got. Maybe back in 2008 we could have gone, yeah, do you know what, we're going to have a mean defence and we're going to outscore you at the front. But that was a team that Fergie had worked on for maybe a decade. I don't think that's right at all. Are the academy players actually going to get some game time or just cameo appearances? Well, it was this time of year that Marcus made his impact, 3 years ago, 3 days ago, I think. And I think once you get that chance, if you take it like Marcus took it, then there's a chance that you stick around. Can any of these lads come in and take a chance like that? Usually you're waiting on an injury for someone, and we've got enough for someone to come in and take a chance. But yeah, Ollie's got to play the man. That's it. Ben says, why do people say we're tight with money? Have you seen how much we pay our players and buy our players for? Our team's worth more than some actual clubs cost to buy. Because we're tight in certain areas, there was no money available for a centre-half in the summer unless that centre-half was of a sufficient enough commercial stature where we was going to think it was worth the punt. We don't invest properly into the team. City have invested very smartly into the team, and they haven't paid over the odds massively for most people. They've gone with players that fit their system, and they've got them at good prices. United just seem to go like fucking lottery winners. We like just throw the money around willy-nilly. Look at the last 4 or 5 years and look at the turnover of signings that we've had is just simply not good enough. The fact we've got so much deadwood amidst so many signings is mental. And it just shows the poor management from the front, and that's why we need a director of football. Who do I think we should have on our right wing from next season? There's a lot of good players out there that would make, like Chiesa at Fiorentina, I like Leon Bailey, maybe Chong. There's a lot of very good players out there that come in and make us. What are the nefarious reasons exactly? I think there's a lot of dodgy accounting going on at City. I think that's plain to see from everyone. I think that's one of the reasons why they've been pulled up by UEFA over it. You know, the different sponsorships that are going on, and I don't know. I just get the impression that all is not what it seems with them. I guess we'll find out in the long run how that actually plays out. But the fact that, you know, some of the players sign from Melbourne and sign from New York, and like, yeah, I'm not buying it, to be honest. Ollie just giving fringe players like McTominay a chance? Yeah, possibly. Am I worried if Ollie gets the job, the board won't throw a decent transfer kit and expect him to make sugar from shit like Fergie did? Yeah, I am a little bit, yeah. I really am. That is my main worry with that, to be honest. I do actually have that sort of worry, because I think that's something that's probably going to happen. Has he been chosen because he's going to be more of a yes man? I certainly hope not. Sanchez is talented, but I don't see how Ollie can fit him into United's new style. This is the problem, and he's on so much that you got to think that they're probably not going to want to keep him around for a long time. Maybe it's the time to cash in on him and a couple of others while we can. Thomas Goodwin, is Wilfred Zaha worth another look? Not for me. Absolutely not for me. His output's not good enough. He beats a man better than most, but what does he do with it after he's beaten him? It reminds me a lot of Nani. Like Christiansen, Sancho and Luckman in recent years, do you think that players like Chong and Greenwood should go on loan to the Bundesliga? The Bundesliga team came in for Greenwood earlier in the season and it was rejected. Fred's first 30 minutes was the worst performance I've seen in the United jersey for a long time. I understand he needs a run of games, but it was bad. Staff is seeing something in training with him. They're probably also seeing stuff in training, which is the reason why he hasn't played for so long. But you do have to play to improve. You're not going to play just by whatever you do in training. Righty, I'm going to wrap it up there, but thank you guys for joining us. There will be no review tomorrow. I'm having the day off spent with the missus. I'm going to watch the match on telly, but I'm not coming down to the studio to do the review. So I'll be back on Monday, probably, it might be Sunday, with a podcast with Rio Ferdinand. So make sure to subscribe. Drop us a like if you've not already, and I will see you in the next one. Remember, if you want to get yourself one of these Ollie's at the Wheel t-shirts, then the link is in the description below, and they are limited edition. There's only a couple more left, but if the demand is high, we may do another run, but there may be the last chance. There's only literally a handful left if you want to get one. Like I said, link is in the description. Check out Patreon, and I will see you in the next one. Laters.